do that. And I appreciate that preaching so much. This morning, he preached the message on my personal Bible study this week. And I enjoyed every bit of that, brother. I really did. Amen. All right. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to stand up here again tonight. God's good to me. Been better to me than what I deserve, and I appreciate him for it. And his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Most of all, for his long-suffering toward us. Amen. God puts up with a lot. I know he does out of me. If you would open your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18 tonight. In the Word of God. Begin reading tonight in verse number 17. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" And I love this verse number 19. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice, judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Let's bow our heads tonight and pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the infallible Word of God. Lord, I believe every bit of this book. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. The depths of my soul, I believe it to be the infallible Word of God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight that you'd visit with us just a little while. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, and unction tonight to preach your precious Word. Speak to our hearts. God, give us what we have need of tonight. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start tonight just a little bit before this. Three times in the book of Genesis, the Lord appeared before Abraham. The first time was in Genesis chapter number 12. And after he had came to Shechem, the scripture said that the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And then Abraham built an altar and at Bethel, the house of God. Again, the scripture says this, that in Genesis chapter number 17, that the Lord appeared unto Abraham, but this time he said that I am the Almighty God. And when the Lord said that, Abraham fell on his face before God. And God began to talk to him, made a covenant with him. As a matter of fact, it's in chapter number 17 where God changed Abram's name to Abraham, said he'd be a father of many nations. Sarah's name was changed from Sarai to Sarah because she would be a princess, and many nations and kings and princes would come from the seed of Abraham and of Sarah. But chapter number 18 tonight is different. It's a little different how the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And it's interesting. It says he appeared. I believe that this is an actual pre-appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ unto Abraham in each one of these instances. In chapter number 18, the Bible said that Abraham was sitting in his tent door. It was hot outside. And so he was standing in the shade inside the tent door. And all of a sudden, Abraham looked up and there was three men standing there. And the Bible said that Abraham ran to them and bowed before him. And he said, "My Lord." I know that one of those was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And also with him, as we learn later in the scripture, with the Lord Jesus Christ was two angels of God. And this is interesting because I find that Abraham has now established a deep relationship with God. And that's important for all of us tonight. As Our pastor encourages all of us to build a relationship with the Son of God. We build that by studying the Word of God and seeking out His Word by prayer and by meditation. And we need to strengthen that relationship that we have in the Lord. I tell you, every day I listen to the news, this world is falling apart. It's something new every single day. Even in Knoxville, it seems like there's a murder every single day. And we've got to learn to trust in the Lord, as our sister sang a while ago. I love that tonight. Learn to trust in Him. And so the Lord had built this relationship with Abraham. And it's kind of like when Jesus was here on the face of the earth and He was gathering His disciples and He found Philip. And when Philip met the Lord Jesus Christ, he ran and found Nathanael and said, we have found the one that Moses spoke of and the prophets spoke of. We found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. My, what an invitation. Come and see. But if we can just get people in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just felt Him just now. Isn't that good? Don't you enjoy it when the Lord just steps in and just brushes by and breathes on you a little bit? He said, come and see. Boy, we need that more. We need more people to come and see. We can just get them tonight in the presence of the Son of God. He can do His work. And so Nathanael came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus looked at him and said, true Israelite indeed. Nathanael said, you know me? How do you know me? And said, before Philip came, he said, I saw thee under the fig tree. Oh, listen, that humble Nathanael, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. My, love a relationship like that when you can get on your knees and crawl in a closet or sit on the front porch and talk to God, and all of a sudden you're plugged in and the Spirit of God begins to move and bless your heart and bless your soul, and you can build that relationship with Almighty God. Abraham was strengthened in the presence of the Son of God. When he saw the Lord, and he saw the angels, he ran to him and fell and said, my Lord, and said, don't pass by without resting here a little while. And so he said, okay, do that. Said, I'll fix you a morsel of bread. And if you've studied, you know the story that Abraham ran into Sarah and said, bake something quickly, make it fast. He ran to the field and got some food and prepared a calf, and he brought it out up underneath the tree there where they were standing. And the Bible said that Abraham stood by. I just picture this in my mind. As the Lord sat down, the angel sat down under that tree, and the Bible said that they ate that food. That just blows my mind that they all sat and ate. And Abraham watched them. And then when they were sitting there, this was the time, you know, if you study the Bible, that they asked, where's Sarah? And Abraham, well, she's there in the tent. And he told Abraham, said, this time and I'm going to visit Sarah, and she's going to have a child. And Sarah laughed inside the tent and said, there's no way. He said, I'm past the year. There's no way I can have a child. And the Lord asked her, said, Sarah, you laughed. And she said, no, I didn't. The Lord said, oh, yes, you did. And listen, He knows our hearts tonight. He can look deep down. This Bible, it's alive tonight. A pastor said it this morning. This book's alive. And if I can make it to the place, I want to share something with you tonight that God has blessed me with in the past few weeks. The Lord allows that, then I will. If not, then it'll be for another time. But listen, the Lord said Sarah will have a child. And so the Lord stood up and the angel stood up, and the Bible said that they turned toward Sodom. So the appearance of the Lord in this one is not a conversation necessarily in a covenant or with a seed of Abraham, but this is one of judgment that the Lord has come down to the face of the earth. May I say tonight that this world is about to face the judgment and wrath of Almighty God. Listen, hell is real tonight, and I believe that with all of my soul. I believe as sure as there's a heaven tonight, there is a hell. There's people tonight that's suffering in the depths of eternal damnation, even while we sit here tonight. And there would to God that they could get just one drop of water that would cool their tongue, because they're tormented in the flames of the dam. And that's just the beginning, because it's eternity for them. And oh, listen, this is a time of judgment. We know the story tonight that in Genesis chapter number 13, the Bible tells us that there was strife between Abraham and also against his nephew, Lot. There was strife because Abraham had gone down into Egypt and Lot had went with him. And Abraham had told Sarah to lie on his behalf and said, tell him that you're my sister. And of course, we know if we study the Bible, it was his half-sister. So it was a half-truth, but listen, a half-truth's a lie, isn't it? It sure is. And so when they got down there in Egypt, they saw Sarah, and she was beautiful to look upon. And Pharaoh would have took her to be a wife, but God plagued Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asked Abraham, said, you lied to me, boy. You lied to me, and said, Abraham gathered all kinds of animals and all kinds of wealth, and Lot gathered animals and wealth while they were down in Egypt, and Pharaoh kicked them out and said, boys, it's time for you all to leave. And so they came out, and Abraham and Lot's flock, they fed together in the fields, and the Bible said that there was strife among the herdmen. And listen, strife will tear a house down. Strife tonight will destroy the church of God. Strife among our children. Strife among our loved ones. Strife against our brothers. And Abraham was wise, and he came to Lot and said, there should be no strife between us. We're brethren. And so listen, Lot, if you take the left hand, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll take the left. And we know the story that Lot looked up out across the plains of Jordan. It was well watered. It was grown up. It was beautiful. The Bible said like the garden of God. And so Lot was looking upon the things that he could see with his eye. But Abraham was looking by faith in God. God was Abraham's treasure. And may I say tonight that there is nothing any greater in all this world than to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater. Listen, I've tried it all. You know my testimony. I've tried everything that's come down the pike. And there's nothing tonight that compares with the time that I've spent with the Son of God. There's nothing that compares to the night that he came to me and birthed me and made me one of his children. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in this world tonight. I cherish those moments, but Lot, he wanted to look at the world. There's a lot of people like that tonight. They live for one day to the next day to the next day. All they can grab and touch and feel and all they can see. And listen, this is temporal. It's going to pass away one day. But the things of God are eternal. Lot chose and went that direction. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the Bible explicitly said this, that the men and the people of Sodom were wicked. Listen, our world is wicked. We're sheltered here tonight in East Tennessee. Listen, they're blatantly,
In the states and out west, they're blatantly living open, wicked lives, and they don't care who knows about it. I know people right now that used to be in the church, and they used to be faithful to the church. A husband and a wife, but now the divorce. The husband remarried a woman, the woman remarried a woman. And that's how wicked the cities of Sodom were. Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't long until chapter number 19 you find that Lot is sitting in the gate. And so the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham? He's about to give Abraham a revelation. But God also knows that he has a nephew that's living down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Abraham stood up with them and went on their way towards Sodom. And that's when the Lord, as we read our text tonight, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. I'm blessed in Abraham tonight because of his seed. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ came from. And I love this, he said, for I know him. And listen, I'm glad tonight that I know him tonight in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know all about him, but I know him. And I know tonight that I know that I know that I know him. I don't know why. I'm going to just share this short little thing with you. Probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Lord brought a young man across my path in his 30s. And about 2 weeks after that, the Lord brought another young man that was in his 30s by my path. And we got to talking, and I witnessed to him and asked him if they were saved by the grace of God, and both of them speedily gave me their testimony how they got saved by the grace of God. And we stood there and fellowshiped a little while, and the Spirit of God began to move inside my heart and move in their hearts. And one of the young men that I met said, standing here, and I gave him my testimony. And I'm telling you, he was just in awe of what God had really done for me. And I'm telling you, he said, I want to pray right now. We stood up under a maple tree in the shade because it was hot that day. And he bowed his head and began to pray, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came down. Aren't you glad tonight that when you're around other people that's saved by the grace of God, that the Spirit of God will move inside of you and you'll know that they're saved? Your spirit will bear witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. But oh, listen, Lot's sitting there. And Abraham's told him, said, I'm going to go down. I'm going down to Sodom and Gomorrah just to see if it's really as wicked, as vile and corrupt and as wicked as it can be. I'm going to see if it's really that way. But the Lord stopped and sent the angels on. They went on. The Bible said that Abraham stood there by the Lord. That's a good place to stand, isn't it? Just to stand with the Lord. I like to stand with the Lord. I love him tonight. I don't love him like I should, but I want to. Deep down in my soul, I want to love him with every fiber of my being. I tell him that every morning. I said, Lord, I love you. I know I don't love you like I should, but I want to. I really want to. I desire that love for the Savior. It's incomparable with the love that he had toward you and I. A godly love, willing to die for us and shed his blood on the cross, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. I can't think of a greater love than that. The angels made it down to Sodom. There sat Lot in the gate. You know something? Lot recognized them. He recognized them. The Bible said that Lot bowed before them, but he said, "My lords," LLORDS. They were not the Lord. There is only one, the Lord. The angels of God came down to Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham stood on a hillside, and he stood by the Lord, and he knew that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Abraham stood there with the Lord and said, "Lord, Lord, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" In the very next verse, he said this. Verse number 25. "To slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be not the judge of all the earth to do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Abraham knew God. He knew that God would do the right thing. And so Abraham stood there and he began to intercede on behalf of Lot that was living in wickedness. The Bible said this, that Lot vexed his righteous soul with what he saw, what he heard, with their wicked, ungodly living. And oh, listen, if you're down on the job, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You hear them blaspheming God, using God's name in vain, and every colorful word that's imaginable that's against God is wicked and it's vile, and all they talk about is just ungodly filth. I'm retired now, but I remember that. I was working on the job one time and went in early that morning, and a boy I worked with was wicked and vile. He was just ungodly, married to a woman in Kentucky, but down here committing adultery with another woman while he worked down here all week. I walked in that morning and he had a Playboy with a centerfold, stuck it in my face and said, "Preacher, you know you want to look at that. You know you want to see that." I had to drop my head and run from that wickedness. I'm telling you, this world is wicked tonight. There used to be a time that people respected the house of God. They respected the people of God. But listen, we've lost that respect because the church is living and acting like the world. Here's somebody off telling dirty jokes and cursing and vile, and then you go to witness to them, they say, "Well, I'm saved." Everybody you ask anymore is saved. And they don't have a clue what that means at all. Abraham began to talk to the Lord and pray and said, "Lord, if there's 50 righteous souls in that city, will you destroy it?" He said, "I'll not do it." He said, "Well, what if there's 5 lacking and there's 45? Said, "Would you destroy it for 45? "No, I'll not destroy it." And you know, he goes all the way down from 45 to 40 to 30 to 20. And then finally, he said, "Just this last time, Lord, if there's 10 righteous souls that's in that city, will you not destroy the city?" And the Lord said, "I'll not destroy the city." But all the angels of God, when they went down into that city, the Bible said that Lot begged them, said, "Oh, come into my house." They said, "No, we're just going to sit out here in the street." And he said, "No, you can't do that. Come into my house." And as soon as the angels came in, the Bible said this, that Lot fixed them food and they sat down and eat. And while they were eating, the men of the city, the young and the old, they surrounded the house. They pressed at the door and said, "Lot, bring out these 2 men that came unto thee, that we may know them." And that's the same terminology when it said that Adam knew Eve. It was vile. It's as corrupt as what our nation is tonight. Outwardly open sodomites. Used to when I was in high school, and Brother Barry knows this too, they hid in the closet, didn't they, brother? They get the tar beat out of them. But now they're loud and proud, they call it. My papa taught me a long time ago when a dog had a litter of puppies, he showed me exactly how to tell whether it's a male or female. I'm going to tell you, you are tonight what you was born with. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah was wicked. They pressed at the door. They tried to break the door down, and Lot slipped outside the door and shut the door behind him, thinking the angels wouldn't hear what was going on, and said, "Listen, do not so wickedly to these two men. They've come under my roof. Bring him out that we might know him." No, he said, "I have two daughters that have not known a man." And said, "I'll bring them out and you do whatever you want to with them." If you want to find out what a sodomite does, you go to the book of Judges and read about the sodomites. They're not peaceful, loving families. They don't fit in. They're not just like you and me. They're different tonight. A man chopped up his concubine in pieces in the book of Judges in 12 pieces and sent them off to the 12 tribes of Israel when they found out about the wickedness that was going on. It was a time when there was no king. They did that which was right in their own eyes. And that's exactly the way people are living today. Preacher, you'll not tell me what to do. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to tell you what the book does. And listen, if you don't do what the book does, then the wrath of God is going to come down upon you one day. The Bible said that Lot vexed his righteous soul. Vexed it. That means that every single day he was miserable. He might have sat at that gate with a smile on his face, but deep down in his soul, he knew that what he was doing and where he was living is not where God wanted him to be. But he let his flesh overcome him and stayed there in that city and dwelt in that city until finally the angels said, "Our mind's made up. We're going to destroy this city. If you've got any sons-in-laws, daughters, or any," said, "go tell them. Get them out of here. God's going to destroy this place." He went to his sons-in-laws and said, "The Lord's going to destroy this place." And Lot said, they looked at him and said, "You sound as one that mocks. A hypocrite." Lot was so involved in Sodom and Gomorrah that the Bible said this, that early the next morning the angels of God said, "Get up, get out, because God's going to destroy this place." And the Bible said that they lingered there. So many people that's got their roots so deep in this world, I'm going to tell you, God's going to have to uproot you at the rapture to get you out of here. You know what the Bible said about that? That when they were standing there lingering, that the angels of God grabbed a hold of Lot, grabbed a hold of his wife, grabbed a hold of his two daughters, and they pulled them outside of that town and said, "I want you to run and flee for your life." And it said this, "The Lord being merciful to them." God was merciful unto Lot. And I'm going to tell you, if you're living in sin and wickedness and ungodliness tonight, God is being merciful to you tonight. I've got family tonight. I'm sure everybody in this building tonight, you got family. You got relatives. Somebody that's lost. Somebody that's backslid. Somebody that's not right with God. Somebody that's living in not the way that they should live. They need somebody to pray for them. Our pastor tonight read off some people in our church that need to be prayed for. That's called the prayer of intercessory prayer. Lot was in a position where he could not pray. He couldn't pray. So Abraham interceded on his behalf. Now I'm going to tell you something else on my heart, and I'm going to come to a close here in just a few minutes. The Lord brought a young man by me and my wife one day. He was tattooed all over. Preacher, you judging me for my tattoos? God's not looking at that. He's looking at your heart. I'm not judging you over your tattoos. One specific tattoo he had right here. It was a name and a date that was stamped on his arm. And Shelley seen it, and she said, "What does that mean?" He said, 2 years ago, said, "My girlfriend, we lived together 14 years. 14 years, and said I loved her, but I came home from work 2 years ago in Texas and said I found her laying in our bed dead." He said, "I tried to stay there. I couldn't." He said, "I fled that place. I moved. I got away from there. My family's still there. But I said, I found up being right here in Powell, Tennessee. This is where I'm working." And boy, I'm thinking God's got something here. We began to talk to him and ask him if he knew the Lord. And he said, "Well, I'm more agnostic." He said, "I've read the Quran, I've read the Bible, I've read other Bibles, I've read them. But how do we know that we're not just all praying to the same God?" Oh, listen. This is how much I believe this Bible, that it's alive. I personally believe this tonight, that it's the most important thing that there is, that when we witness and talk to other people, give them scripture, because this Bible's alive. It'll never die. My children was raised under this Bible, and some of them tonight are not living for God. But listen, the Word of God's been sown in their heart, and that Word shall never die. It's alive tonight. And I'm trusting that Word. Trust in the Word. So ever since I met that young boy, I started giving him the Word and telling him that Jesus was the light of the world. And Jesus said that he was the way of salvation, the only way of salvation. I gave him book, chapter, and verse. I told him every bit of it. I sowed the Word of God in his heart. And then I left a gospel tract right there for him to read the Word of God that was in that gospel tract. And I've been praying for Josh ever since that time. And I want to challenge you tonight. God knows who Josh is. Would you intercede and pray that the light of the glorious gospel through the words of God would open his eyes to the darkness that he's involved in, because the darkness that he believes in is going to send him straight to hell. Amen. Pray for Josh. Amen. That God will save him. I pray that our paths will cross again, and when they do cross, that he'll talk to us and say, "Listen, That little old scripture you led, that you left with me, and that scripture that you read. Said, and I went home that night, I couldn't stop. Now, this is the way I imagine it. This is the way I think about it. That Bible, that scripture you gave me went over and over and over in my mind, and it just about drove me crazy, and all of a sudden, I found myself under conviction of God, and the glorious gospel was shown unto me, and I got born into the family of God. Amen. Somebody's got to pray for them. They can't pray for themselves. Folks, we've got a responsibility tonight. As much as Abraham chose that responsibility. God didn't call him to the mission to do that. You don't have to be nobody special tonight. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can talk to Him and you can pray for others. I rejoiced when I walked in church this morning. I seen Brother Dale sitting there. Brother Dale, I've been praying for you every day, brother. I have. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for Brother Don Lee. And that's nothing about me. I'm talking about the people that God puts on my heart. I pray for my pastor and his wife every single day. I pray for their family. I pray for our church tonight. That we'd get set on fire for Jesus Christ. That the power, the Word of God would move in this place. That the Holy Ghost would visit us when we come together. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Let there be no strife among us. No strife that has to separate us one from another. That's not right in the sight of God. In Jesus Christ, we are one. If I asked you tonight to raise your hands and ask how many of you have people in your family that's lost, I wonder how many would raise their hand. Do you pray for them? What about people in your family that's wayward? Do you pray for them? I don't know if I said this here or somewhere else. I got a grandson tonight. He's a young man now. But he's been indoctrinated with the garbage that our school system put out. Indoctrinated. The chains of hell's got a hold of him. If he don't get saved, my grandson's going to go to hell. He's 19 years old. I don't want to see him go to hell. I pray for him. He's heard me preach. He's heard other people preach. He's been under the gospel. I pray that this living word of God would turn on in his heart like a light bulb. It's our responsibility to pray. One day we're going to stand before God. Their blood will be required at our hands if we don't tell them about Jesus Christ. We got to intercede on their behalf because they can't pray for themselves. God don't hear a sinner's prayer unless it's God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm glad he heard that when I prayed. Lot's life was messed up. He paid dearly for it. I'm going to tell you something. You can't live wicked. If you're righteous, you can't live wicked and get by with it. There's payday someday. You can't act like it in church and be something different at home. I've seen people, church people like that. I'm telling you, just smile and just, I'm telling you, they're just all sugar at church. Then they get outside the doors of the church and get down somewhere and you either overhear them or you run into them and then they just cuss like a sailor. That's not a Christian. That's one of the first things God cleaned up in me. First the drugs, and He cleaned my mouth up. I may have told you, if I did, I'm just reminding you that I remember it. Got to running with the wrong crowd when I first moved into the neighborhood where I'm living now. Heard some of the boys saying some bad words, and I went home and called my dad a bad word. I'll never forget that day. Barry, you know what he done to me, don't you? I'm telling you, while he crank-started his hip with a belt, just like cranking a lawnmower, and I'm telling you, he folded that thing, and he wore my hind end out. I had stripes that swelled out. I didn't even know it was bad, but from then on I knew it was bad. Nobody had to remind me when I heard that word. That's a bad word. Whatever you do, don't go home and tell your daddy that. He'll bust your hind end. We need to intercede just like Abraham did. He took it on himself. I'm glad that people prayed for me. My name was put in a little old prayer box by the E.D. Mays, Bible Way Baptist Church. My mom and daddy went there, wrote my name on a little piece of paper, folded it up, and put it in that prayer box. After I got saved by the grace of God, I used to listen to Brother E.D. Mays all the time. Brother E.D. Mays, every morning, he would name off the prayer request, and then he would always say, "Let's remember those that are in the prayer box." I didn't even know it, preacher. Mom and Dad had slipped that in there. Somebody was praying for me. When I was out living like the devil, thank God somebody was interceding on my behalf. I could have got killed and died out there somewhere, but God was merciful to me and saw that somewhere January 1st, 1977, that old boy is going to bow down his head at Bell's Chapel Baptist Church. He's going to call on my name. He's going to get saved and live for me. Thank God for that. I'm glad I'm saved. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. I brought what the Lord's put on my heart. My Father, I've brought the scripture you put on my heart. I'm thankful, Lord, for people that prayed for me. And I hope tonight that our hearts will be challenged as Abraham's was to seek the face of God, that God would be merciful to our friends, our family, and our loved ones. No, God, you'd hear that prayer, that cry. Give ear to it, Lord. Be merciful to them and draw them, Lord, to you. I pray tonight for Josh. Wherever he's at, whatever he's doing, I pray the Holy Ghost will deal with his heart. Convict him, Lord. May the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine unto him tonight. Lord, save him before it's too late. I ask it, my Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.